Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granth Raja Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Giridas Maharaj ki. Go pray, Manate. So tonight we'll continue with chapter 58, canto 10, and we'll finish the chapter. So we'll go from verses 41 to 58. And if the children are too noisy, we'll ask them to go outside. Yeah, maybe a little bit too much. Okay, so 41 to 58. Enthusiastic. Okay. The king said, "My lord, who could be a better husband for my daughter than you, the exclusive abode of all transcendental qualities? On your body the goddess of fortune herself resides, never leaving you for any reason." So we see here that the king, he only wants his daughter to marry
Krishna.
Yeah. No other person. And the queens only want to marry Krishna. So that is the exclusiveness of their devotion. And Prabhupada points this out in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 12th chapter. 11th chapter or the 12th, it might be at the end of the 11th or the 12th chapter. Prabhupada points out in one of the purports that we should fix our mind only on the form of Krishna. And Prabhupada says we should not divert our attention either to the other forms of God. And in particular, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized that we should fix our mind on the Vrindavan form of Krishna. Nanda Nandana. Vrajendra Nandana. Yashoda Nandana. That should be the meditation of the devotee. So a devotee is not, he doesn't leave his mind to another personality. That personality is called one's Ishtadev. Ishtadev means one's worshipable deity, the person that one is focused upon. So for us, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our Ishtadev is Lord Krishna in Vrindavan, Radha Vallabha. You'll see in all the temples around ISKCON, then Prabhupada installed Radha Krishna, Gaura Nittai, Jagannath Balaram Subhadra, and on some rare occasions Krishna Balaram and Sitaram Lakshman, Hanuman. But the main focus is Radha and Krishna. And that should be the meditation of the devotees. So here we see that these queens who were previously gopis, they're meditating with their minds on that particular form. And they will not have any other form. They will not have any other personality. We see that many people, they become distracted. Bahu sakasya anantascha. The mind becomes distracted by so many other things. And we know for ourselves, we're not exclusively attached to Krishna at this point in time. Our mind becomes attached to so many other forms, which are material and temporary, and which cannot bring us ultimate happiness. But still, even though we know philosophically, theoretically, that we should only be attached to Krishna, to the spiritual forms, still we become attached to the material forms. And then we become distracted, and our meditation on Krishna becomes weakened. And then we cannot achieve prema. So the only way you can achieve prema is that you must give up all material attachments and desires. And you see these personalities in the Bhagavatam, the gopis, the queens, they are exclusively attached to Krishna. And you see the king, the father, he has made a swayamvara, or a condition that if one wants to take the queen, take the princess, then he must defeat the seven bulls. Because he knows, and he actually says, there's a private conversation, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur points out, he converses with Krishna and he says, the reason I made this contest where they have to defeat the seven bulls, because I know only you can do it. Because I do not want anyone else to be the the wife. I do not want anyone else to be the husband of my daughter. I will only give my daughter to you. So that is an exclusive type of devotion. That is the type of devotion we have to cultivate. We don't become distracted by other things. And Krishna will test us every step of the way in our devotional service. Are we attached to Krishna or are we attached to something else? And he will see. Because he wants to make sure that our devotion is pure. Prabhupada got off the boat in America, in New York. So he got off the boat. And then when he was walking across the pier, he saw that phrase, unalloyed steel. Unalloyed means not mixed with anything else. Because when you mix the steel with other things, it weakens it. It's not as strong, not as powerful. So Prabhupada saw that word, unalloyed. And then he started using that. Unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Because at the moment our devotion is mixed with so many other things. And that weakens the devotion. Not so strong. So this is the test. This is what the Bhagavatam is teaching us. We must have unalloyed devotion to Krishna. Otherwise, we'll stay in the material world. How do you like the material world so far? Anyone have any problems here tonight? Lots. Yeah, I'm looking around. I know everyone pretty well. I can see the problems on your faces. A few people have less, but most have. Any points?
You're sadly going.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? But to ascertain the proper husband for my daughter, O chief of the Satwatas, we previously set a condition to test the prowess of the Sutoras. Yogi, you want to?
According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, the king's actual purpose in setting up the test was to obtain Sri Krishna as his son-in-law, since only he could subdue the bulls. Without such a test, it would have been difficult for Narayanaji to refuse the many apparently qualified princes and kings who came to ask for his daughter's hand in marriage.
Any points?
Our focus like that too. When we should actually, when we focus on Krishna, there will be so many different tests that we will probably be going through. But if we have a focus at the lotus feet, somehow or the other, Krishna will make arrangements for us to, I mean, looking at different perspectives. What is set up here?
Nice. Anything else?
Traditionally.
Yeah. Anything else?
Why particularly lotus feet devotion?
What do you mean?
Lotus feet. Why so much importance to the lotus feet?
Because when we bow down, you're at someone's feet. So that means you're completely surrendered to that person. and the representation of the lotus, the means the lotus is in the water, but it's not touched by the water. And the water drops on the lotus, it flows off. So it means, lotus feet means like Krishna's feet are transcendental. Even though Krishna appears in this world, but he's not actually in this world. So there's different meanings. So we see that we have to be prepared to face all obstacles in devotional service. What are we willing to do to attain Krishna? We have to be willing to do anything to attain Krishna. That is easy to say, but it is not so easy to do. Anyone can say, I will do anything for Krishna. Sometimes we say like that, or we think like, I will do anything for Krishna. But will you really do anything for Krishna? Will you be willing to give up anything you're asked? And as you stay a devotee longer and longer and longer, Krishna will test you more and more and more. To see, are you actually willing to surrender to him? Because he wants to make sure that you will not leave. The qualification to stay in the spiritual world means you have to be fixed, stira. Well, Krishna says in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, stita diya muni. What does that mean? Yeah, stitta. Stitta means like fixed, dhira. In like meditation, means fixed. Stitta dhira muni means like a sage. We have to be like fixed on Krishna. At the moment, we go off here, we go off there, we go off there. But you have to stay just fixed on Krishna. When you are like that, then you gain the qualification. Krishna gives you his mercy. So we have to become stitta dhira. It means fixed in our devotional service. So the obstacles will become greater and greater. You have to pass the tests. Krishna was willing to pass the test for his devotee, to fulfill the desire of the devotee. Are we willing to pass the test to fulfill the desire of Krishna? Guru and Krishna. What does the guru ask of us? What does Krishna ask of us? We have to see, are we willing to do anything? So as you become more advanced, Krishna will make the tests stronger. And you can see, on a practical level, like if you look around the temple, how many like senior devotees are there? How many devotees have been there for 30 years, 40 years, like that? Not so many. Right? Because as time goes by, Krishna will test us. Do you want to continue fixed up in my devotional service, or will you float away and absorb yourself in Maya? Still a devotee, but not as fixed up. And you see, many of the devotees, they can't stay very focused and very fixed. So what is the deciding principle? Because we all want to be fixed up, right? You want to be like, you're sitting here in 30 years, like fixed up. You're still practicing strongly Krishna consciousness. How do you achieve that? You have to take shelter of the Panchanga Bhakti, the five powerful processes of devotional service. It means sadhu sangha. You have to find advanced devotees, and if you associate with them, you'll also become serious like them. Like Burujai Prabhu is coming, right? Comes on Saturday to the farm, right? So like everyone goes there. Why? Because we know if we're associating with the advanced devotee, we will become more serious. That's why we associate with the advanced. Sadhu Sangha. It has to be advanced devotees. Any devotee you associate with. But when you associate with the advanced devotees, you get elevated very quickly in devotional service. Then, Nam Kirtan. You have to associate with the holy name. But proper association of the holy name. Chanting with attention, and even after some time with feeling and attachment, ruchi, taste for the holy name. A lot of the time our chanting is not very good. Our relationship with the holy name is not very powerful, because we don't have such a serious commitment to the chanting. But when you chant nicely, then you will get that strength. And then Bhagavat Shravan. You must hear the Bhagavatam. This is actually one of the reasons why many of the devotees don't stay fixed up. Because they don't make enough time to study Prabhupada's books. Right? That's a fact. Many devotees don't make that a priority in their lives. Right? And I can see, quite often I see devotees. In ISKCON we have this saying, they are on the mental platform. We say they are mental. You hear this?
Yeah.
You understand this? Yeah. It's not something the Indian devotees say so much, but the Western devotees, we say it a lot. We, especially in the old days, we used to say it a lot. Oh, he's mental. Means on the mental platform. Yeah. Maybe the Western, I don't hear Indian devotees say that so much. But when we're speaking Western devotees, yeah, even now we still say that. Oh, they're mental. Yeah, when I join, we always say that. They're on the mental platform, they're mental. Mental means you're on the platform of the mind. And when you're on the platform of the mind, you will suffer. No? The mind will make you suffer. Right? Because the mind has desires you cannot fulfill. Right? I have material desires. I can't fulfill them. If I identify with that, then I will suffer. Therefore, the intelligence has to become very strong. And I see that many devotees, they don't study Prabhupada's books enough. They don't spend enough time reading and studying the books and coming to classes like this. If you come to these kind of classes, if you study Prabhupada's books regularly and seriously, and hear lectures regularly and seriously, you won't be on the mental platform. And I see many devotees struggle in devotional service, and this is one of the main reasons. I see, they're not reading. Are you reading Prabhupada's books? Oh, no, I'm not. Oh. Then think about, why do you have so many problems? You know, some devotees always got problems. Every time I see them, oh, I've got this problem, I've got that problem. Like that. Are you reading Prabhupada's books? Not so much. Hare Baba. Look at your life. That's where the problem is. If you're reading Prabhupada's books, how can you have serious problems? You will not have so many problems. No? Because Prabhupada eradicates those problems. Some devotees get into the Jyotish too much. I studied, I understand it, you know, to some degree. It's good, Jyotish is good. But some devotees get into it too much. I can't go out today because Rahu is bad. I can't get in a car today because Mars is malefic. And some devotees are almost like this. Oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. Just go and do it. What's the problem? You know? So no, I can't do this today, it's inauspicious. So then I say, okay, you stay here, I go and do it, come back, how was it? It was great. What's the problem? So some devotees, they get too much into the Jyotish. But Prabhupada said, one devotee wrote to Prabhupada one letter, and the devotee said, Rahu is giving me, Rahu is one of the malefic planets. Rahu can be very good. If Rahu is well placed in your chart, actually, in my Rahu period, it's very good, period. So Rahu can be a good planet, but it can also be very detrimental. So one devotee wrote to Prabhupada, said, oh, my Rahu, giving me so many problems. Prabhupada said, you just bring that Rahu in front of me. He said, with one kick, I will kick thousands of Rahus. Prabhupada is so powerful. So if you're studying Prabhupada's books regularly, you won't have so many problems in your life. I mean, problems are there, but they won't overwhelm you because you'll see them in proper perspective. But if you don't study Prabhupada's books, you just be on this platform of the mind all the time. I see many devotees. That's why you cannot give up hearing under any circumstance, no matter what you're going through. You've got problems? Everyone's got problems. Everyone's got problems. Prabhupada had problems. You know, you read the Leelamrita and Hari Swami's diary, there's so many challenges daily Prabhupada was facing. His own health, right? Problems inside the movement, problems outside the movement, so many problems. But Prabhupada was just fixed because every day he was translating the Bhagavatam. So associate with the advanced devotees, chant the holy name properly. Study Prabhupada's books. Mathura Bhas. You have to regularly go to Mathura, Vrindavan, Mayapur, Puri. And you have to regularly come to the replica. Prabhupada said these are embassies of the spiritual world. Like here in Melbourne, you have Indian embassy. When you step in there, you're under Indian law. Outside of India, it's the embassy. So this temple is the embassy of Goloka Vrindavan. So when you're here, you're in Mayapur, you're in Vrindavan, you're in Puri. So that will lift you up to the highest standard. Just like we have Janmashtami. Janmashtami comes soon. Now what is the date?
3rd of September.
Is Janmashtami 3rd?
Yes.
Huh? Whose birthday is that? 3rd of September. Whose birthday?
Yeah, it's my
birthday. But this year I will be eclipsed. Because covered by Krishna's birthday, Janmashtami. So my family, obviously, they wanted to see me on my birthday and all these things. I said to them, that's Janmashtami. You want to see me? Fine, I'll be here. I'm not going to go with some. Oh, Monday birthday. Oh, happy birthday to you. You know, blow out the cake. So exciting. Oh, give me a present. Open it up. Oh, something stupid. Okay. What for? It's Krishna's birthday, right? This is Krishna's temple, right? I'm happy to see my family, but you come to me. You come to Krishna. We won't compromise. Other times a year I can have a compromise, but not on Krishna's birthday. So this is the power of the temple. It is the holy dham. So Mathura Bas, right? And then finally, Srimurti Shraddhaya Savan. You have to serve the deities with great faith and love and devotion, right? And then you will develop love for Krishna. Just like we read, Kalindi. Who was Kalindi? Vishakha. What was she doing?
Worshipping
the deities. Yeah, she had deities of Radha and Krishna. She was worshipping. Because we cannot see Radha and Krishna, we have to worship the deities of Radha and Krishna. Go on your time. Especially you have to worship the deities in the temple. That's more important than worshipping your deities at home. Prabhupada said that. He said the devotees should take care of these deities first, then your deities. Even one devotee, they were worshipping their deities at home. But I said to them recently, I said, are you doing service here? They're Brahman, second initiative. I said, no, worship your deities at home. I said, no, that's not good. Now they're starting to do some worship. Okay, you have your deities at home, that's fine, but here is the main priority. You must worship the deity in the home. Sorry, in the temple. Especially these deities. These deities are installed by?
Prabhupada.
Just like we go to India, just to see the deities installed by Rupa Goswami. Right? Prabhupada is Rupa Goswami's intimate follower. He lived for 4 years at Radha Damodar Temple. Intimate follower of Rupa Goswami, and he installed these deities himself. That means this is not ordinary. So you take advantage of these things. So if you do these things, these five powerful things, then you can overcome the obstacles in devotional service. Right? Otherwise you will fail the test. And we see, I've seen so many devotees failing tests. You have to stay fixed up in Krishna consciousness. You only stay fixed up if you get powerful association. If you don't get powerful association, you will drift off. Right? You will grow a moustache and you'll come to Janmashtami, come to the temple once a year for Janmashtami with your moustache and your 7 kids in your Mercedes Benz. Yeah, that's what happens. You see some devotees, they just drift off. Still devotees, but not serious. So the tests will come. You have to ask yourself, do you want to be serious or not? If you want to be serious, you have to take shelter so you can pass the test. So, Krishna says a couple of verses ago, he says, I want to marry your daughter, but I have no gift in charity. I have nothing to give. When you receive something, you have to give something back. So what was Krishna giving? What was the gift? Himself. Yeah, he's saying, I want your daughter. You know, who would say no? You get Krishna as a member of the family. So by his prowess, Krishna Chakravarti Thakur says, he's so powerful. Everyone would want him in the family. His character is so perfect. Everyone would want him in the family. His beauty is so exquisite. Everyone would want him in the family. So that was his offering. He said, you give me your daughter, but I don't have anything I can offer back. But obviously, any point?
About deity worship, you mentioned some of the kings, Rajishi, they restored the deities in their kingdom, and they went from morning and evening to the deities, and they thought that deities are the rulers, actually. They are not the rulers. They are just caretakers.
Yeah, many nice stories. There's one king, and then he used to worship the deity every morning. And then one other king attacked him while he was worshipping the deity. Anyone know that story?
Kulashekhar.
Was it Kulashekhar? Was it? Okay. Okay. Yeah, so he was worshipping, I can't remember, I think maybe Kulashekhar. He was worshipping the deity. So the king attacked because he used to worship the deity every morning. And then after he finished worshipping the deity, he went out. He looked on the battlefield and the whole king, the opposite army was all destroyed. Because the deity went out and fought, went out and killed everyone. And then at the same time expanded himself, accepted the worship, and he came out. And then he said to his soldiers, he said, what happened? And they said, one soldier came out, he was dark. He came out, he killed everyone.
Yeah.
With who? His name was Purushottam Jan.
Yes.
He was the father of Prataparudra Maharaj.
Yes.
Yeah. Very powerful. So Purushottam Jan, very powerful king. He was a great devotee, like Maharaj Prataparudra. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, you hear about Maharaj Prataparudra. If you read history books, he's written about. Yeah, Lord Chaitanya is written about. It's only 500 years ago. It's still historically written down. So when Prataparudra Maharaj was ruling Orissa, he was fighting battles with who was ruling up there in Bengal? Who was in charge? Not the Chankazi, who was the next one up? Nawab Hussein Shah. So he was attacking from the north, and the king of Madras was attacking from the south. So he had to fight battles on both sides. So his father was a very powerful warrior, Purushottam Jan. So he was challenged by the king in South India. he was going to give his daughter to the king to marry. But then when the king came to Puri to meet him, he saw him in the Rath Yatra festival. And in the Rath Yatra festival, the king, even to this day, the king of Puri, they sweep the cart before Lord Jagannath. So when he came to see him, he saw he was sweeping the streets. He thought, I'm not going to give my daughter to a street sweeper. So he went back to South India. And when Purushottam Jan, when he heard, he'd been insulted, he said, I'm not going to give my daughter to a street sweeper. He said, okay, I will attack the kingdom. So he attacked this kingdom of the South Indian king. And when he went there, that king was a devotee of Ganesh. And he defeated Purushottam Jan. So then he went back to Puri, and he walked into the temple of Jagannath. He had very strong relationship with Jagannath. He walked in, he's very upset. He said, why did you not give me victory? He said, he is just worshipping Ganesh, who is your servant, and he has defeated me and humiliated me. Why did you let this happen? So he gathered his army, right? And then he thought, I will attack again. He prayed, this time you give me victory. So he was going down towards South India. And as he was traveling down with his army, previously he had given a ring, a very valuable ring, to Lord Jagannath as a gift. So then, as he was traveling down to South India, he went through one village. And before he got to the village, two of his soldiers, they were riding ahead on the horses. One was a black horse, one was a white horse. One soldier was dark, one soldier was fair. So they went through the village and they said to one lady, they said, give me dahi, we are hot. No? So they gave a big pot of dahi. She said, how will you pay for it? She said, my king is coming, he's behind, he's bringing the army. When he gets here, you ask him, he will give you the money. But he said, no, how will I know? How will he know that you are like that? So the soldier took off the ring and he gave to the lady. He said, you give this to the king and then he will pay you. So then the king got there. And then the dahi wala, the lady, she came to him. She said, your soldiers, two of them came first. They took my dahi and they said, you will pay me. He said, no, all my soldiers are here. He said, no, one of them gave this ring. And when he saw the ring, it was the ring that he gave to Jagannath. And he thought, what is going on? Who has stolen the ring of Jagannath? So then when he got to the battlefield to fight the South Indian king, the whole army had been defeated. Because these two warriors, the dark one and the light one, they defeated everyone.
Krishna and Balaram.
And then they rode back. So then he got the daughter and he conquered the king of Madras, the southern king. And he said, now your daughter has to marry the street sweeper. A great insult. I'm taking your daughter. The street sweeper is taking your daughter. What will you do? And then he went back to Puri. And then he prayed. So there's many pastimes like that where the deities will assist. Any points? Okay, now we'll tell the Shakshi Gopal Vastava. So, no, takes too long. We can tell pastimes all night about the deities. Many pastimes. Any points? Okay. These seven wild bulls are impossible to tame, O hero. They have defeated many princes, breaking their limbs. So seven powerful bulls. If you look in our philosophy, there are many instances where there are numbers given. Seven, six, all the different numbers. Like six enemies. Who are the six enemies of the conditioned soul? Lust. Anger, greed, pride, illusion, envy, six enemies who stop us from serving Krishna. So you must conquer these six. That's the point. If you can't conquer the enemies, you cannot attain Krishna. That's a test. Krishna could not attain his queen until he conquered the seven bulls. How do you think you will get... Everyone says, you know, whenever I give class, sometimes I say, hands up if you want Krishna Prem. Love for Krishna. So what does everyone do? Everyone's like... how are you going to get Krishna Prem? If you're not going to do the hard work, if you're not going to face the challenges, if you're not going to overcome the obstacles, if you can't conquer lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. If you can't conquer this, then how will you get Krishna? You have to give them up. Just like Burujan Prabhu, sometimes he says, when you go to Vrindavan, Krishna holds a mirror in front of your face. So you really see yourself. Because when we're in the West, sometimes we think we're doing very well in devotional service. I think I'm advancing nicely. You know, all the devotees respect me. You know, they offer me respect. And then you go to Vrindavan, and then suddenly Krishna goes, oh my God, I thought I was advanced. I thought I was pure. And then Krishna shows you, what about this? What about this? What about this? Especially when you go to the very intimate places of Krishna's pastimes, like Radhakund, which is the most exalted place. You know, I like to spend time at Radhakund. I like Radhakund. But when I go there, Krishna goes, where's the mirror? Are you qualified to be here? And then I say, I'm not qualified to be there. I can go for a short visit, I can offer some respect, I can chant some rounds. And then Krishna says, okay, you don't belong here. You want to stay here, you have to be pure. Otherwise, stay at a distance. So this is our devotional service. Until we become purified, we can't attain Krishna. So you have to be willing to overcome these things. Sometimes these material desires feel like big bulls that you are wrestling with. Have you ever wrestled with a bull by the horns? None of us have. Why? Because it's very difficult. You go and grab Giri down at the farm. Jump the fence and grab his horns and see what he does. He starts to go, in the beginning he just plays. You know, he just goes like this. You know, I never do it with him. I do it when the fence is in between. And sometimes I grab his horns and he starts going, that's like, just playing. But I'd never do it over the fence, because if I did it, you know, and then he gets serious and that's it, I'm finished. So our material desires are like that. You have to be very powerful to overcome your material desires. You have to be very serious in devotional service. So, if you can subdue them, O descendant of Yadu, you will certainly be the appropriate bridegroom for my daughter, O Lord of Shri. Upon hearing these terms, the Lord tightened his clothing, expanded himself into seven forms, and easily subdued the bulls. Jumana?
According to Srila Sridhar Swami, Lord Krishna expanded himself into seven forms, not only to playfully defeat the seven bulls, but also to show Princess Satya that she would not have to compete with his other queens, since he could enjoy with all of them simultaneously.
Any points? So he expands himself seven times. Why is that? Because he's showing that he can fulfill everyone's desires simultaneously. Who can do that? Who can satisfy every one of us in this room? There's 20 of us in this room. Who can satisfy all of us completely simultaneously? Only Krishna can do that. Or a very, very advanced devotee can do that. Otherwise, no one has that potency, that power. But Krishna is showing. So this is something which we all have to meditate upon. One time I was at the Bhaktivedanta Ashram at Govardhan Hill. We call it, in ISKCON we call it the palace. So you might have been there. Beautiful place, the palace. So I was there, and Gopi Purana Dana Prabhu, who, he was the, if you look in the front of the book, it said he is the Sanskrit editor. For, he passed away a few years ago at Govardhan. So he was giving class, a very learned devotee. And sometimes when we're with the very advanced devotees, you can ask the deepest questions in your heart. You know, because when you're with a very advanced devotee, you don't want to miss the opportunity. So you can ask the deepest questions. So I had one doubt in my heart. And I was thinking, does Krishna need me? Do I need to exist even? Krishna has Radharani. He has 800,000 perfect gopis, so many pure devotees, all of you, everyone else. Why does he need me for? Why do I exist? Have you ever thought this point? Anyone ever considered this point? Okay, one person, that's good. What's that?
Because you are unique.
Yeah, because I'm unique, I thought of that unique question. So I was thinking that question. But for me it was a very deep thing. Like it was a feeling in my heart. It wasn't just a question from my mind, but in my heart. I think, does Krishna need me? Does he need me? He has so many others. That do I need to exist? So I asked Gopi Puranadana Prabhu this question. I said, Prabhu, why do I exist? Why do I need to be there? Krishna has so many other servants. He said, but only you can, yeah, everyone is unique, as you said, and only you can offer something to Krishna that no one else can. That's why we exist, because we're an individual personality, and we can serve Krishna, and only we can serve Krishna in a particular way. So Krishna, he relishes when we serve him. Because when you serve Krishna, you serve him in such a way no one else can offer that service to him. Only you can offer it in that particular way. So when you give your independence to Krishna, Krishna becomes very satisfied. Right? And sometimes we think, Burujan Prabhu was saying one time, he was meditating and he said that he had a vision in his mind. You see, sometimes there's pictures of Krishna, and Krishna has thousands of cows. You see, sometimes a picture of Krishna walking, and behind him is like hundreds of thousands, 900,000 cows. And Lord Chaitanya says that we are Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yodasa Dasa Anudasa, which means we are the servant of the servant of the servant. We always say this when we give classes, we always say, we are the servant of the servant of the servant. We don't really think like that. We think we are the servant. We stop at the first one. I am the servant. And all you guys, you help as well. But I am the servant. But actually, the actual consciousness is I am the servant of the servant of the servant. Like that. So Burujan Prabhu was saying he was meditating. And then he had like in his mind that vision of all the cows and Krishna and then, you know, we are somewhere down the back. Maybe in the spiritual, we're one of the cows. You know, 800,900, and you know, maybe we're one of the cows down the very, very back. It's just somewhere out there in the ocean. And Krishna has so many servants. And then Burujan Prabhu said he was thinking like that, meditating. Maybe I'm just one of those. Certainly, think he said. I thought, do I really want to go back to the spiritual world? Because if I go back to the spiritual world, I'm just one. And there's so many servants. So do I really want to be like that? So we have to get over that ego that we have. All of us have this ego, that we are important, that we are special.
But Krishna will treat each individual specially.
That's the point I'm making. That's the point I'm making. But we don't think like that. We think that we are significant. And when we go back to the spiritual world, we are insignificant. Significant in the sense that we are only we can offer the service that we offer to Krishna, but there's so many, many servants.
But we won't be liberated, number one. We have to rotate in the material world.
Yeah, we have to give up that meditation that we are important. When you walk through all the other devotees so you can sit at the front, in front of the deities, you have to give up that mentality that I am significant. We have to have the mentality we are insignificant. Then Krishna will accept our service. That's the consciousness. So most of us haven't got that consciousness yet. I haven't got that consciousness. I haven't perfected it. Where I'm like the servant of the servant of the servant. I haven't perfected that consciousness. I'm still working on that consciousness.
Jay Sachi Prabhu, one of the books, he was giving class in the Western Sabha. He was asking everybody, what's your size? And everybody started telling medium, extra large. He said, you are telling about the body. If you see the soul, how light it is. And he was telling we are nothing, we should always think we are lighter than the dust, and how we don't have capacity to do anything. Everything is coming from Krishna, that's why we are doing. But we always think, I'm doing this, I'm doing that.
Yeah, that's not easy to think like that. It's easy to say it in class, but to think it or actually experience it or act on that platform to realize that, that's not easy. So this is the consciousness of the pure devotees. So the point here is that Krishna expands himself into seven. Why? To show us that he can reciprocate with all of us simultaneously. But we have to be qualified and ready. And then he will reciprocate with us. So. And it says here that when he subdued the seven bulls, how did he subdue them? Yeah, he said, it says playfully.
Wooden toys.
It wasn't even difficult for him.
Like wooden toys.
Yeah, it said afterwards then he led them like toys. Yeah. But it was just like play for him. Mm-hmm. Imagine you can grab a bull and it's just like play. He grabbed the bulls, you know. And these bulls are broken, the bones of many Kshatriyas. Many great warriors have tried to aggress these bulls, but they've been smashed. And Krishna grabbed them and just playfully, he just moved them around and subdued them. That's how powerful he is. Okay. Lord Shori tied up the bulls whose pride and strength were now broken and pulled them with ropes just as a child playfully pulls wooden toy dolls. So what did Krishna do to the bulls?
Just touched them.
Yeah, but what did he do to them? What does it describe here? What happened to the bulls?
Pride and strength.
Yeah. He crushed the pride. This is one of the things that disqualify us in our service to Krishna. We become proud of our service. So over time, Krishna will crush your pride. He will do this in different ways. Maybe he will take away your health to bring your pride down. Because otherwise we're very proud. Or your reputation. Or your mental strength or ability or so many things. Like that. But he will bring your pride down. So he does this to all the devotees. He brings the pride down. Because when you are prideless, then you can serve him properly. As long as you're full of pride, you cannot serve him nicely. So he will make everyone very proud. So with the bulls, first he had to break the pride. What happens to a bull when you subdue them? It's very important, actually, because I see Manigriva Prabhu, he trains the bulls at the farm. From when they're young, right, he'll put a harness on them and the rope, and they try to pull away. And even when they're small, they're very strong. But Mani is very big. So he pulls harder to show them he is stronger. He has to set up that dominance from the beginning. Because now Giri is big, our biggest bull. Mani can't control him if he really starts to push. But in his mind, he thinks Manigriva is stronger. Because since he was little, Mani has been pulling him. Right? So he thinks. So when Mani pulls, he thinks, okay, this guy is stronger. So he doesn't. So in the beginning, you have to break the pride. So that's why it says in the Shastra, Chanakya says, the father and the guru, it is their duty to break the pride of the disciple. My guru did this to me many times. Right. He used to call me stupid. One time I walked through, he was speaking to one of the leaders, and I walked through to, I thought I was doing some service for him. And he walked through, he said, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going to do such and such. And he just looked at me, he goes, go and get someone who has some brains. Go and get someone who has some brains. And tell them to come. So I thought, oh, okay. So God, my God, brother, said, you better go and speak to him because he said, I've got no brain. So. Now, why did he do that? To crush the pride. And what did Prabhupada do to him? 1977, right? Just before Prabhupada left, after 8 years of service. And Tomoka Krishna was very close to Prabhupada, like intimate associate, personal servant. And if Prabhupada asked him a question, said, oh, did you do this? And he said, oh, I didn't do it. And Prabhupada said, yes, because there's nothing in there. Prabhupada said, nothing in there. Nothing. Prabhupada did that to him. Why? To subdue. Because when someone is free from pride, you can easily direct them.
Manipulate.
Yeah, not manipulate, but direct them. Control. Like the bulls, you can bring them. You know, when their pride is crushed, they think, oh, you are stronger than them, then you can direct them. So saying the guru, right, crushes the pride of the disciples, so then he can direct you. If you're proud, you won't listen. But if he brings you down, then you will listen. So the duty of the senior devotees is to bring the pride, right, of the junior devotees down. Otherwise, I think they're very significant and important. Then King Nagnajit, pleased and astonished, presented his daughter to Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, accepted this suitable bride in the proper Vedic fashion. So why did he accept her? Because she is his internal potency. It's his own Shakti. Krishna will never be bewildered by a material person. We are bewildered by the opposite sex from the material platform. Men are attached to women, women are attached to men. That's all based on the body. Krishna is never bewildered by the body. He will only accept one of his eternal associates, right? Who has a pure spiritual form, made of eternality, knowledge, and bliss. Who is this particular princess? Last night we said, which she's one of the eight principal gopis. Which one? Padma. Yeah, in Vrindavan she is Padma. Who is the closest servant of? Chandravali. So she has taken the form of Nagnajiti Sanjay. The king's wives felt the great ecstasy upon attaining Lord Krishna as the dear husband of the royal princess, and a mood of great festivity arose. So it describes here that Krishna had like individual marriages, but in some of the writings of the Goswamis, it describes that he married all of them together, except for Rukmini. She was already married. But then he got the rest of them together and married all of them. 16,107. One big marriage, accepted them all simultaneously. But here in the Bhagavatam it says he married like one by one. By one. Conch shells, horns, and drums resounded, along with the vocal and instrumental music and the sounds of brahmanas invoking blessings. The joyful men and women adorned themselves with fine clothing and garlands. As the dowry, powerful king Nagnajit gave 10,000 cows, 3,000 young maidservants, wearing golden ornaments on their necks and bedecked in fine clothing, 9,000 elephants, 100 times as many chariots as elephants, 100 times as many horses as chariots, and 100 times as many maidservants as horses. So this is what you give someone when they get married. What do we give someone when they get married? Right, you get a kettle.
You know.
Or is it?
No box items.
No, yeah, no box items. Yeah, but you get kettles, and you get irons, and you get, you know, this is what you get when you get married, but it's not very opulent. Yeah, back in the old days, you would get elephants and horses and gold and cows, maid servants for the palace, all these things. It's a real opulence. These days, we just get, you know, plastic and, you know, everything's made of plastic, plastic iron, plastic kettles and all this. Not opulent. Just like they pick Prabhupada up here at the airport in Melbourne. In the Rolls Royce. Right? Picked him up in the Rolls Royce. And then, you know, Rolls Royce, very, very opulent car. You know? So the reporter said to Prabhupada, oh, Swamiji, you're supposed to be renounced, but outside, we saw they're picking you up in the Rolls Royce. Prabhupada said, I say it is not enough. He said, why the guru, why the representative of God is picked up of a car made of rubber and tin and plastic? The guru should be, God's representative should be picked up in the chariot made of gold and jewels. So you imagine the reporter. The reporter's like. Prabhupada was speaking on another level, you know. They're thinking, oh, Rolls Royce, like this, you know. Bhagwan Rajneesh, he had 100 Rolls Royces. Prabhupada used to criticize it. 100 Rolls Royces. The guy had. Prabhupada, this false guru. Just collecting plastic and all these things. This is not real guru.
You were the false guru.
Yeah, he was false. He had to change his name because it was became infamous. But Prabhupada said, that is not enough. You should pick me up in a chariot of gold and diamonds, Prabhupada said.
Prabhupada knew what to answer, how to answer.
Yeah. The king of Kosala, his heart melting with affection, had the bride and groom seated on their chariot, and then he sent them on their way surrounded by a great army. When the intolerant kings who had been rival suitors heard that what had happened, they tried to stop Lord Krishna on the road as he took his bride home. But just as the bulls had broken the king's strength before, the Yadu warriors broke it now. So the basic principle is, do not oppose the desire of Krishna. Right? Sometimes as devotees, we oppose the desire of Krishna. We don't surrender to Krishna. And then what happens when you don't surrender to Krishna? Right? You get
crushed.
So they try to what's the word? They try to
negotiate.
Not negotiate, they try to oppose Krishna. Yeah, they're opposing Krishna. So the Yadus, Krishna's army, they just smash them apart. Right? And then someone helps Krishna, one of his, that's what you'll see now. In the next verse. Arjuna. Who is the most powerful warrior on the planet? Actually, it's Bhishma. Actually, it's Krishna. Krishna and Balaram. But then Bhishma. He's the most powerful. And then Arjuna. But on the planet, at that time, the most famous warrior was Arjuna. Even Krishna's children. Krishna had 16,108 wives. Each wife had how many kids?
Ten
boys. Right? So Krishna's children, when they were playing, because they're young boys, they're playing, they would say, in the name of Arjuna. He was like the hero of everyone. Everyone on the planet, he was like the hero. So here, Arjuna steps forward on behalf of Krishna. Arjuna, wielder of the Gandiva bow, was always eager to please his friend Krishna. And thus he drove back their opponents, who were shooting torrents of arrows at the Lord. He did this just as a lion drives away insignificant animals. Lord Devaki Sutta, the chief of the Yadus, then took his dowry and Satya to Dwarka and continued to live there happily. Bhadra was a princess of the Kaikeya kingdom and the daughter of Lord Krishna's paternal aunt, Shrutakirti. The Lord married Bhadra when her brothers, headed by Santaradana, offered her to him. So there are eight principal gopis. And then the eight principal gopis became the eight principal queens. So which one is this? Yeah, same name. All the others had different names, the other seven. But this particular gopi, her name is Bhadra, she became Bhadra. What does Bhadra mean? Huh? What does it mean? Sanskrit.
Auspicious.
It means strong, doesn't it? Bhadra.
Auspicious.
Are you sure?
Bhadra means inauspicious.
Bhadra means inauspicious. Okay, so Bhadra. So then Subhadra means very auspicious. Very auspicious. So Bhadra means auspicious. Subhadra means very auspicious. Then the Lord married Lakshmana, the daughter of the king of Madura. Krishna appeared alone at her Swayamvara ceremony and took her away just as Garuda once stole the demigod's nectar. Huh? So when he came and took Rukmini, what happened? He took Rukmini and then he was attacked. All the princesses attacked him. But when he came to take Lakshmana, no one attacked him because they were starting to understand what happens. Every time you attack him, the whole army gets. So this time they didn't like it, but there's nothing they could do. He just came in front of everyone, just took her, put her on the chariot, and then drove out. And he just looked at everyone. No one even challenged him. Same thing happened in the Mahabharata. Those three princesses, Amba, Ambika, Ambalika, right? They had a Swayamvara. All the princes were there. And then who came?
Bhishma.
Bhishma came in, took the three, put them on the chariot, right, and just rode out. And because Bhishma was the most powerful warrior on the planet, no one did anything, right? Everyone just said, he said he was going to be a brahmachari. Because he'd taken that vow, right? He took a vow he would not marry, right? And then he took three princesses. Everyone was upset. Why is he taking the princesses? Because he was taking them for Vichitravirya, for the prince. But he knew that if Vichitravirya went, he would be killed or attacked. So he went and did it on his behalf. Lord Krishna. Okay, so who is that princess Lakshmana? Huh? Shaibya, yeah. No, it's not Shaibya. It's Shama. Shamsaki, yeah. Shamsaki. So you must have the eight by now, huh? Rukmini, Satyabhama, Jambavati, Kalindi. That's four. And then he just got Nagnajiti, Bhadra, Lakshmana, and then there's Mitravinda. Yeah, so she was. So now he has the eight. So now he's got the eight principal queens. Lord Krishna also acquired thousands of other wives equal to these when he killed Bhaumasura and freed the beautiful maidens, the demons. The demon was holding captive. So next Monday we will have the next chapter and we'll hear how Krishna captures the other 16,100 princesses. Srila Prabhupada ki.